Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
It's over. Game over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Through the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center after a 2-1 overtime victory for the Blackhawks against the Minnesota Wild. You can call or text at 312-981-7200 to chime in on the postgame show. That's how we do it. I think Jason Dickinson is going to be joining us shortly on this postgame show to recap this one. Troy, the home losing streak is over. The last time the Hawks had won here at the United Center was the home opener on October 17th, and they are finally off the schneid.
Yeah, this was a big one, I think, for a lot of reasons. First and foremost, they played well, and they were very structured through 40 minutes, and that's a great opportunity for the coaching staff to say, hey, listen, we did this, and we shut down a really good offensive team. We got away from it in the third period, but you got to give credit to the Minnesota Wild. But this was a big game. You won those last two games on the road before you came home to play Detroit. You thought that that was a winnable game, and just didn't pan out that way. And tough travel night. You get into Dallas, and you don't fare very well in that game. Soderblom was the only reason you kind of hung around in that one. And then tonight, great goaltending from Peter Mrazek. Not tested all that much in the first two periods, but 19 shots in the third period. Finally, Boldy gets one past him. I think the Blackhawks kind of sat back a little bit too much, and that gave Minnesota an opportunity to skate with a lot of speed and then created offensive opportunities. They were getting into the zone, winning the one-on-one foot races, and that created a lot of problems for them defensively. But overall, a solid effort, and again, another great job by Peter Mrazek in this one.
Yeah, Mrazek did face that one high-quality scoring chance the first shift or two after it was Kaprizov, like right in front of the net. But after that, he didn't really face many. But boy, he was tested in the third period.
Yeah. And Minnesota's got a lot of firepower up front. This is the team that's like sixth or seventh in scoring coming into the game. And they've been on a roll. They've been, they're coming into the game tonight. 52 goals through the first 14 games. That's a franchise record for the Minnesota Wild. So this is a team that has been able to score goals, and for the Blackhawks to shut them down basically and take away their opportunities through 40 minutes, an excellent job. Mrazek not that tested as far as the quality opportunities, but in the third period, boy, Peter Mrazek had to be Peter Mrazek, and he was excellent. Boldy gets the one by him, but I like the way they responded. Great job by Kurashev. Seth Jones intercepts the play. He starts it off. He gets the only assist on that goal, and everybody goes home happy.
All right, it looks like we got Jason Dickinson downstairs to help us recap this Blackhawks overtime win against Minnesota. Jason, good to snap a four-game home losing streak, pick up the first win here at the United Center since the home opener.
Yeah, definitely. I would have loved to see us play a little bit sharper in the third period. We gave them a little bit too much. We didn't get enough pucks towards the net, but we were able to get to overtime and find the extra goal.
Jason, what was the difference? I thought through 40 minutes you guys were excellent. Puck management was great, got pucks in deep, created some opportunities, didn't give Minnesota, and all of a sudden they got some traction. What was the difference in the third?
They started the push, and we weren't able to slow them down. So the better we can do at minimizing their momentum swings, then it'll bode well for us in the third period. But we let them get a little bit too fluid and a little bit too confident with the puck, and they were able to just roll it over.
Jason, Luke Richardson was talking after the Dallas game about how the faceoffs were a little bit of a concern in that one, winning only 29%. You guys won 52% in this one. How important are faceoffs and improving in that area, and hopefully it can translate into wins and more puck possession?
Yeah, it's obviously a big deal to start with the puck. It starts to shift off on the right foot. You're not chasing it right from the get-go, so the more times you can start with it, the better. They got some good face-off guys over there, so to dig in and use all five guys on the ice to get the puck is going to be a big deal, because it's not easy.
Jason, when I was playing back way back in the day, when I was given a challenge – to go up against a guy like Wayne Gretzky or, you know, whatever my assignment was for that game, it kind of gave me a real purpose in my mind of what I needed to do. I know that Luke Richardson, with the last line change here, wanted you guys, your line, to go up against the Rossi, Zuccarello, and Kaprizov line, which they actually switched to get away from that combination because it wasn't working. Is that something that you really focus on and say, hey, listen, I have a task here tonight. If I do my job, we're going to have a good chance to win.
Yeah, I absolutely love these nights. This is what I live for. This is what my job is and where I thrive. So to get those responsibilities is a huge honor. It's a big challenge, and I love the challenge. It's the best thing about playing competitive sports is every night it's going to push you to your very limits, and I want the best players to push me.
If you look at your line combination with Anderson on the right and Teuvo Teravainen on the left, that's a little bit of a different look for you guys. How did you think it worked out? I thought it was great.
Yeah, it felt really good. I think we were finding some chemistry there together. Obviously, Joey and I have played together for a while, and Teuvo, him and I have played a few games now together, but the three of us, it's a new combo, so it's nice to feel the puck together and recognize where we'd like to go.
If you look at Teuvo's game, I mean, he's a veteran player. He's been around the league for a long time. He does have a real offensive flair to his game, but also very reliable defensively. What dynamic did he bring to the line?
Man, his poise is something else. He brings a level of calmness to us that he makes plays out of nothing sometimes that I might not see, but he's so good with the puck and positioning and how to read the ice that he can make these plays that seem like they're not there. And he likes to slow the pace down to a certain level that he gets to dictate. That's the biggest thing.
So, Jason, the Blackhawks are 2-0 when you score a goal at home, and they're 0-4 when you don't. So you know what that means going into the next game.
Hey, I got to keep scoring.
Hey, thanks so much for doing this, Jason.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Jason Dickinson. He was named the third star of the game. You mentioned it. He was, from the opening faceoff, the Minnesota Wild would throw up Kaprizov's line, and out goes number 16. Like, he is the shutdown guy for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, he's the, you know, if you look down the middle, I mean, you know, Kurashev was playing center between Bertuzzi and Hall. Is he your shutdown guy? No. Is Connor Bedard a shutdown guy? No. Donato, he can play in that role, you know, somewhat as well. But like I was, you know, asking Jason, when I had a purpose, a real purpose going into the game, that was my focus during the day. And I'm sure that he kind of knew beforehand that this was going to be the assignment. And like he said, this is what I live for. This is what makes me a hockey player. You know, this is the why I want to have that. And I really like the matchup here tonight. I thought that for Minnesota, John Hines had to make an adjustment there because the line of with Marco Rossi, who's not a big guy, he's only 5'9", 180 pounds. You know, he wasn't winning that battle with Dickinson, so they had to make some adjustments there. They moved Kaprizov down to a line with Eriksson Ek and Boldy, and that was to try and find some kind of rhythm, some chemistry. And that line did actually score the goal in the third period. But I thought that, you know, Dickinson, and I believe that he's at his best when he knows what his assignment is. And when he focuses on shutting down the other team's top forward line, whatever it may be, I think that's when he's at his best. And tonight he was excellent in this game. You know, give him a lot of credit because it's a tough assignment. If you don't play well, your team probably gets blown out. And through 40 minutes, they did an excellent job. Minnesota, as he said, you know, got some traction in the third period. And I think that that's something overall that they can learn and grow with. And certainly it's going to be a better mindset to listen to the coaching staff after winning it in overtime rather than losing it and going, oh, you know, here we go again. Kind of, you know, the tail goes down, you're scolded dog, and your ears go down. But, you know, they're going to have a lot of energy. They wanted to win it in regulation. They sat back maybe a little bit too much, gave, as Jason said, too much freedom for Minnesota. And this is what I was talking about. The forecheck wasn't there in the third period like it was in the first couple of periods. You didn't shut down the neutral zone. You kind of sat back and let Minnesota wheel around and come out with speed. And that really gave them the opportunity to pursue pucks in the offensive zone and then create second and third opportunities because they had the momentum going. And if it wasn't for Peter Mrazek, you know, the score would have changed a little bit earlier in the third period if he wasn't so great. But then again, when you're protecting a lead and all of a sudden that lead evaporates, your mindset changes. Okay, well, now we're not leading anymore. Now we got to start playing a little bit more offensive.
Yeah, back in attack mode.
Yeah, get back into it. And, you know, at the end of the game, I think Minnesota was kind of content to put themselves in a position where they can go into the overtime after tying the game up there. But for the Blackhawks, maybe a lesson to be learned there that, you know, when you sit back too much and you allow the opposition to come at you, sooner or later it's going to come back to haunt you. Did they get away with it in the third period? No. The game was tied up. You gave Minnesota a point, and they're playing well. Give them a lot of credit. But just something that they can use moving forward, and knowing that through 40 minutes, if they played the right way, they shut down a real good team.
Yeah. You know, it drives me crazy when if you watch an NFL game, a Bears game, and, you know, teams
the
are
the prevent defense.
You go to the prevent defense, and it's the worst defense because it you're basically just delaying the inevitable of them eventually scoring. And I'm not saying the Blackhawks did that because it was a one goal lead, but subconsciously you feel like you have to kind of sit on the lead and protect it. Whereas if you get the next goal, that can almost deflate the sails of the opposing team more than playing tight defensively. And, you know, so it's a weird psychological game that you have to play with yourself.
Well, and I agree with you, and I've talked about this a lot in the past, because when you're playing well and you're getting in on the forecheck, you know, you're not allowing the opposition team tonight, Minnesota, to freewheel out of their own zone. But when you kind of go into the hockey prevent defense, you get to the red line, you get pucks in deep, and then you go off on a line change, right? Fresh legs to get out there. That's kind of the right mentality to have. But when you do that, there's no chance of you going in on the forecheck. So now you just come off the bench and you find your structure in the neutral zone. But what happens is you allow Minnesota or the opposition team to get pucks in from their own end of the ice and then come out of the zone uncontested. And when that happens, now you're trying to face guys that are coming with a full head of steam. They're skating as fast as they can. Then if they chip it in, now you're on your heels and you're kind of caught flat-footed. You can't win those battles back into the corner. So that's kind of how it happens in hockey. I would like to see it kind of happen where it's just like, you know, one guy goes in there and he chips it in. He goes into the forecheck. The other two guys go off the ice. And then you can at least put some pressure on Minnesota to try and break out with some guys coming at you rather than sitting back in the neutral zone. And I feel that that's kind of the mindset of the prevent defense in hockey like it is in football, that you don't want to get caught an extended shift. You don't want to be in a position where you're not on top of the puck. But I thought in the third period, the Blackhawks, they started to attack on the forecheck kind of at the wrong time. And I make the analogy to tennis. You either go to the net or you play at the baseline. If you're in the middle of the court, you're done. And that's kind of what were happening when you saw it a couple of times, where the Blackhawks were caught flat-footed, and all of a sudden Minnesota got some odd man opportunities a couple times on the power play. Minnesota had two odd man rushes coming back on the ice, because you kind of get caught in the middle of nowhere. You don't want to turn pucks over, but you're not really pushing it. So it's a dangerous kind of, it's a slippery slope when you go into that prevent defense in hockey.
It sounds like you were attacking my pickleball game, too. That's how I find myself. I'm in the middle. I'm never in the front or the back.
Are you a pickleball guy?
I just started, like, 2 months ago. Yeah. I'm a tennis guy, though, too.
I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah. Do you not play pickleball? I play tennis, too.
I can barely walk up these stairs, let alone play pickleball or tennis. I mean, I use the handicap golf cart. I get to have the flag on and go right up to the green.
What did you think of Luke Richardson's overtime strategy? He puts out Dickinson, Foligno, and Vlasic to counter Minnesota's line of trio Eriksson-Ek, Kaprizov, and Faber, and kind of waiting to throw out Bedard next to either get Minnesota's guys tired or get them on their second go around.
Yeah, well, you noticed right away as soon as they had puck possession, then Bedard came on the ice. So that you know, Bedard is not, again, he's not built to check. And you know, you looked at Kaprizov and Eriksson-Ek, two excellent forwards. Kaprizov, one of the hottest guys in the NHL right now, and then Brock Faber. You know, he's the quarterback back there, so he's excellent. So they wanted guys, and Big Vlasic was out there as well. They wanted to shut down those guys as much as possible. Take your chances with that matchup, and then look at the next matchup with Bedard coming on the ice gives him a better opportunity to have puck possession against a group of guys that probably aren't as offensively gifted as what the guys that they had out there at the beginning. So it's a strategy. Some coaches do it. Some coaches like to go head-to-head. I like the fact that, you know, Dickinson was playing such a strong game. Get him back out there. Give him that opportunity to shut down their top guys. And he did so. And all of a sudden, you know, you got a couple rotations in there. And back comes, you know, the Blackhawks with an offensive push.
I remember when Jeremy Colleton here was the head coach, he would throw out David Camp for the overtimes. And as soon as they would win the faceoff, he'd go directly to the bench and Patrick Kane would hop on.
Well, and there's the other thing, too, is you had Foligno and Dickinson, probably your two best faceoff guys out there on
right.
the ice. And Dickinson ended up winning the draw, but Minnesota able to, Eriksson that came off the wing and able to get it before it got to Vlasic. But that was a big part of it, too. Like, you know, who do you put out there with Bedard? And Bedard's not going to take that faceoff because now he's not going to start with the puck and he's not the best defender.
Right.
Kind of 3-on-3. So there was a lot of thought, I think, going into that process. But I think when you have a guy that played as well as Dickinson did, get him right back out there. Nick Foligno knows how to play those situations. And then it's so hard to go up against Vlasic because he's so big, he's so rangy, and 3-on-3, you need that.
We're what, 20 minutes into this post-game show, and we haven't even mentioned the overtime goal scorer, Filip Kurashev. Nice to see him break through on the... I'm looking at the second period stats. I was going to say he only had 10 minutes of ice time, but no, it's 16:41 of ice time.
That was good.
It's like, wow.
Good 10 minutes.
Really good 10 minutes, but nice to see Kurashev break through after it's kind of been a little bit of an up-and-down start to the season, him trying to figure out what line he belongs on, healthy scratch. Good to see him break through in a big way for Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big confidence booster for him. I think his confidence has taken a little bit of a hit. It was high last year after the end of the season. He was playing wing with Bedard, and then they had to look for some different combinations. They had to find something down the middle, and they're still kind of searching for that. And for Kurashev, it's tough to move back from wing to forward to center to, you know, what position you're going to play, what your responsibilities are. Now you've got different line mates. I don't think he's ever played with Hall and Bertuzzi before until this last little bit here. So some different combinations that you look at here that I think that have kind of slowed the progression of Kurashev down a little bit, but he works hard. He's a smart player. He's reliable. And Luke's talked about him last year, especially that, you know, playing with Bedard, that he brings a little bit of a more of a 200-foot element, and he brings some skill to that combination as well. So real happy for Kurashev to get his third of the season in that fashion. He's going to be happy. He's going to be excited. And that bodes well for the Blackhawks and, you know, Kurashev heading into this two-game road trip, Seattle and Vancouver.
And that's a situation over time that benefits him, where there's so much open ice. He can use his skating ability, his offensive instincts. He wasn't on the power play unit. He was rotating in and out with Maroon at practice yesterday on the second. So didn't see any power play time, but I'm sure for him, it's a confidence booster that that's an area where he should thrive in 3-on-3 overtime, and he was able to capitalize on his offensive ability.
Yeah, he's a skilled player. There's no question about that. But you know, in a lot of ways, he's a young Teuvo Teravainen, where he's still trying to figure out what type of player he is. Is he a center? Is he a winger? You know, what's my role? Am I a checker? Am I a scorer? He does have that offensive flair. He does have that ability to make plays, and that's why you saw him playing with Connor Bedard last year, because he complimented Bedard, you know, fairly well. So he does that. He has that in his repertoire. He's able to do it. And then, you know, that why they have the 3-on-3 in the NHL, they want to showcase the talent.
Right.
And they, you know, first and foremost, they want a way to decide the game. They don't want it to tie, and that's why they had the shootout as well. But it does give those players that are very dynamic offensively that opportunity to excel when you get into the 3-on-3 situations.
Good to see Corey Crawford tonight. Two-time Stanley Cup champ was in the building.
Not a lot of people realize that he has stayed in Chicago the entire time. He's really low-key. He's out at, and I want to say, one of the ice rinks out, kind of out where I am, quite a bit, watching his son play hockey, but just quietly has been a part of the Chicago community here, and doesn't go out, doesn't do a whole lot publicly. That's just kind of the way that he's wired, and he's enjoying his family time and spending a bunch of time as a father. And I think that's really important. And for him to be back here tonight, that's great to see him. Great,
for sure.
He is a great guy.
Yeah. Big time. We got some fans cheering of, I don't know what they're cheering at, but actually they might be cheering at our guy, Jack Heinrich, coming in, bringing us some post-game sound. So we should probably go to break. Hey, we get to sleep in our own bed for a few more days. Not we, you guys get to sleep in your own bed for a few more days before going back to Seattle.
I'm not touching that one.
All right.
You're on your own.
No, I was wondering where you were going with that, and I just got it. All right, let's take a break. We'll hear what post-game sound came from the Blackhawks locker room after this. Post-game show rolls on 720 WGN.
Give it a Boldy left point. To the high slot. Spurgeon coughed up the puck. Jones has it to Kurashev over the wild line left wing with a shot. He scores! Hawks win! Hawks win! Kurashev let it rip for the left circle and beats Gustafson over the shoulder. The Hawks have erased a 12-game winless streak at the hands of the Wild. Come back in overtime and beat Minnesota. The final score, the Hawks 2 and the Wild 1.
Welcome back to the Blackhawks post-game show. That was the overtime winner by Philip Kurashev. Our guy John Weideman with the A-plus call. He was talking about the 12-game winless skid for Chicago against the Minnesota Wild. The Hawks were 0-9-3 against the Wild in their last 12 games. Their last regular season win against Minnesota before tonight was December 15th, 2019. It was a 5-3 win over the Wild. Patrick Kane had a hat trick in that game. Robin Lehner was the winning goaltender for the Blackhawks in that one. So that was a long time ago for the Blackhawks. Nice to see them snap not only a losing streak against the Minnesota Wild, but also the four-game winless streak at home. The last one was the home opener against San Jose. I think we got a caller on the line, wants to chime in on the Blackhawks post-game show. Rob from Plainfield, you are on the Blackhawks post-game show. What is up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How's it going, man?
Hey, you know, one of the things that I constantly, you know, a season ticket holder, I've been to a couple of games this year, went to a bunch of games last year, and I think it has to be said that every single time that I see kind of the Hawks in a good spot on the ice and in the game overall, we have momentum, but there's always seems to be one player that seemingly gets us back into a stressful situation, turns the tide. And I think it has to be said, it's Seth Jones, man. Like, I saw him, he couldn't even skate backwards tonight. He lost his footing, and that gave up that tying goal that put us back into a stressful situation that led us to overtime. I'm glad that we won, but I think it just needs to be said that maybe we need to start thinking about, you know, who's going to take over Seth Jones from a spot standpoint, or, you know, at this point in time, I can't wait until Seth Jones is no longer tying up our salary cap, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Thank you for the call, Rob. Seth Jones is obviously a polarizing figure here in Chicago just because of the acquisition. You know, you had to give up assets for him and then signing him to a long-term contract extension. And that was obviously by the old regime when they were trying to take the next step and not kind of do a rebuild. I feel like the cards were kind of stacked against Seth Jones when he first came over. And so he's going to have to do a lot to win over the Blackhawks fan base. I think the Minnesota one, it was just an unfortunate play where he kind of, I don't know what he tripped over, but he just fell. The thing I will say about Seth, and I think he has admitted this in the past too, is, you know, when he came over from Chicago, he psychologically, the Blackhawks roster, especially after they started to rebuild, the Blackhawks roster was just not as strong as he's used to. Like in Columbus, he was playing on a line with Zach Werenski, and he had a year with Artemi Panarin, and there was just really dependable blue lines, both his pairing partner and depth. And when he came to Chicago, he subconsciously felt like he had to do it all. And I think sometimes when he tries to do it all, he gets away from his game. And I actually feel like I like Seth Jones a lot better when he's been on a pairing with Wyatt Kaiser this season, because Kaiser has been a stabilizing force. There are so many games where I've watched the Blackhawks this season where I didn't really notice Kaiser, but I mean that in a great way. Like, oh, he did his job and he kind of stabilized things out there for his pairing. And so I think with Seth, if he can kind of get into the mindset of just trusting his his three forwards on the ice and his defenseman partner, I feel like he'd be better served. And maybe it's just he's so used to what it's been like here in Chicago that it's hard to break out of that mentality. But that's where I fall with Seth Jones. And is he a perfect hockey player? No. And, you know, at times, you know, I also feel like his salary is something that, you know, fans will always attach. You know, I think of even when Brent Seabrook was here in Chicago, he's such a legend here in Chicago, but after he signed that big ticket, and once you don't perform to that big ticket, you know, fans will turn on you quickly. So, you know, give Seth Jones a little bit of grace for the position that he's been put on, but also, you know, I think it is fair to constructively criticize his play occasionally, but I thought since he's been on a pairing with Wyatt Kaiser, he's been a little bit better. So thank you for the call, Rob. I appreciate you chiming in here on the Blackhawks post game show. And Kaiser actually popped into my mind yesterday when I was watching the Blackhawks do their power play. You know, I was thinking, is there an opportunity for Kaiser to maybe step into a power play role? Like maybe you experiment him going on the first power play, quarterbacking that unit, or even on the second unit if the Hawks are looking for a little bit of a different look. I want to say Kaiser got a little bit of a look there last season at some point. I can't remember when exactly, but the Hawks did give him a look. I actually think it might have been, I was going to say when Seth Jones got injured and was out for a month, but I think that might have coincided when Kaiser was in Rockford. So maybe that wasn't the situation, but I really like Kaiser's game. You know, Troy was mentioning it on the broadcast today about just Kaiser making that, I think he made a nice stick play on the one of the penalty kills to deny a scoring chance. So we'll see if that can continue, and maybe the Kaiser-Seth pairing over time will help calm things down a little bit more for Seth. Hey, how about this? The Hawks have improved now 5-1-1 when they score the first goal of the hockey game. They're 1-8-0 when they give up the first goal. So a massive, I know it seems like a little bit of a, it seems cliche to say get off to a good start, but just getting that first goal and playing with the lead and just feeling like, okay, we can be in the driver's seat for a game, or, you know, just right off the hop where you don't feel like you're chasing a game early on. I feel like that does a lot to a team psychologically. And so credit to the Blackhawks for finding a way to score first against one of the best teams in the NHL. The Minnesota Wild came into this building 10-2-2 in their first 14 games of the season. And how about this? The Hawks were 4:31 away from a shutout victory in regulation. I think back to the Winnipeg game on the opening road trip of the season where the Hawks were 64 seconds away from a shutout win, a 1-0 shutout win in Winnipeg. So it's one of those things where the Hawks have done a good job in the third period in most cases of bending but not breaking in the third. But they when they do break, it's really late in the third period. So it's like they're so close to not breaking. But it's encouraging to see. I feel like last season when you watch Blackhawks games, it was there were a lot of lapses, whether it was in the second period where you're like, wow, the Hawks just gave up three goals in, you know, a 4-minute span. Whereas this year it feels like the Hawks do a little bit of a better job in that department. They're, again, still not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like they are taking some steps towards that. And it was nice to see them kind of redeem that spot today in overtime versus the Winnipeg game where they maybe give it up late and then you get demoralized and then it carries over into overtime and, you know, you lose the hockey game. So it was nice for them, for the Blackhawks, to find a way to get 2 points. All right, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game and some post-game sound coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Hawks come to full strength. Foligno's out of the box. Hartman with the puck along the right board. Fed the high slot. Bogosian fires. Then Mrazek came out with a save as he went down in the butterfly position. Slid across. Stopped it with the glove. The puck bounced out of his glove momentarily, but he quickly scooped it out of midair and held on. Hawks 3-for-3 on the PK.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Peter Mrazek stopped 32 of 33 shots for a .970 save percentage, 18 of 19 saves in the third period. He saved 1.59 goals saved above expected, according to Natural Stat Trick. He was absolutely dynamite, especially in the third period. He spoke to the media at the United Center after this one. Let's hear what he had to say.
They kind of switched things up in the third, and you were pretty busy. Just, you know, how hard is it to contain that team?
Well, they're a good team. We all know that. Their record says it all. But you know what? We were prepared first two periods. Great penalty kill in the third. You know, the whole game, penalty kill was outstanding. So that was the key that we got the win tonight.
After they pushed so much of the third to after the goal, kind of start getting a bit more of the offense. Was that good to see?
Yeah, it was good to see. But I think we should play a little more offense. I think as well when we're above nothing, because you know how this league is. One mistake, it's ends in your net, and then it's tie game. So we just have to learn from those games and from this period, and move on.
How much does it help you when you've got a guy like Kaprizov coming in as hot as he is, and he ends up playing the defensive end of the ice, it seemed like, most of the night?
You know, just treating him as any other player. Everybody can shoot and score in this league and can pass the puck. So, obviously, you know, he's there. He's hanging in the back of the net there just to be ready. You have it in your mind a little bit, but you have to focus on all five players there.
What did you see from Dickinson defensively?
Oh, that whole line was, you know, great all night long against that line. And that's the key for us.
How important is psychologically win a game like this where you guys let out all?
Well, we needed the win home. I think we had solid road trip, and then we came home here with Detroit, lost the game. So we just have to find a way to start winning games home and get some consistency on that.
It was one of the best 40 minutes of defense we've seen all season. What did you see from your vantage point?
Yeah, first two periods, we didn't give them much. Penalty was great. We just were putting pucks out of our zone. You know, we didn't give them any odd man rushes. So that's something we have to look after.
That was Blackhawks goaltender Peter Mrazek, who was named the number two star of the game tonight because the number one star of the game went to Filip Kurashev, who scored the overtime winner for his third goal of the season. Let's hear what he had to say postgame.
How would you assess that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we don't want to give up that late goal, but we found a way to win. That's a big part.
We've talked about Peter Mrazek a lot. He's kind of been the backbone for you guys. And how critical was he, especially in that third period?
Oh, it was unbelievable. He's the reason why we were still in the game. And we got to be better than that for him. But I'm glad we got the win.
What happens, and Alex was just talking about it too, with the third period. How do you guys keep the foot on the gas or whatever you need to do when teams switch things up like that?
Yeah, I think it's been tough for us all year to play full 60 minutes, so we got to find a way to, you know, even if the game is tight, stay in it and not let teams back in it. We got away with it today, but we got to learn from it.
Was there kind of a talk on the bench when they did tie it of, okay, we got to start pushing for some offense now?
You gotta be patient in those moments. You can't let it get to you too much. You gotta go out there and take the game right back and not get them too much momentum. So we did that, and I'm glad we did.
What do you see in your goal?
Just a good drive by Jonesy, and I was able to shoot through the guys and went in, so it was good.
That was Blackhawks forward Filip Kurashev, the overtime winner here at the United Center. The Blackhawks snap a four-game home losing skid, their first win since the home opener on October 17th. We got one more break to get to, and then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Lasik drives it back down the boards into the wild end. Puck circles and it ends up on the right wing side. Dickinson has it. Crosses to the slot and fires. He scores! Jason Dickinson, his second goal on the season. Took an opportune bounce of the puck out of the corner and he knew what to do with it. Crossing the slot, he fired through a screen and past Gustafson. It's 1-0 Hawks.
Welcome back to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here. That was Jason Dickinson scoring the first goal of the game for the Blackhawks, his second of the season. Hawks are now 2-0 at home when Dickinson scores a goal, so that's a nice little omen. Let's do a quick prospects update. Did it in the pregame show, but wanted to share that Frank Nazar, Blackhawks' first-round pick from a couple years ago, had three assists on Saturday to extend his point streak to four games with the Rockford IceHogs. He has 7 points over that span, 2 goals, 5 assists, 10 shots on goal, and 2 of his 4 goals this season have been shorthanded. He's tied for first in the with on the team with 4 goals, and he also leads the team with 7 assists and 11 points in 9 games. I think it would be premature for the Blackhawks to try calling him up, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's a second-half add while they kind of let him develop down there and make sure that he doesn't hit a rookie wall when the meat of the schedule comes and, you know, the grind of an 82-game season or a full-game season in Rockford hits. All right, let's get to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Blackhawks are going to Seattle for the next game on Thursday. They had an overtime win over Vegas on Friday. It was Jared McCann with the overtime winner.
Eichel is in, turns the puck over. Here comes McCann, a breakaway, game on his stick, score! Time 4-3 Seattle.
Oh, what a call. The Seattle Kraken are 2-6-1 in their last 9 games after a 4-2-1 or 4-2-0 start in their first 6. So they haven't had a great success lately. They're 27th in shots per game at 26.7. 22nd in shots against per game at 29.4, 21st in power play percentage, and 20th in penalty kill. So it's not a particularly strong team. You know, they do have some players to kind of keep an eye on, but I think it's a winnable game for the Blackhawks. And if you are Chicago, I know the road schedule has been quite annoying for the first month of the season, and it could be a little taxing, but if you can pick up a win against Seattle, carry that into you know, the next game and try to stack some wins together. It's nice that the Blackhawks are going to be able to sit on this win tonight for a while because they don't play next Thursday or until Thursday. So they'll have a few days to kind of sit on it, but it won't mean much if they're not able to stack these wins in a row because the Blackhawks haven't been able to do that much over the last couple years. And so we'll see if the Blackhawks are able to do that when they go to Seattle. Another annoying trip, the late games West Coast, but hopefully after that the Blackhawks will be able to settle in and then come back home and start to put together a streak. But we'll see how Chicago does when they go to Seattle. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. We had a lot of help on the broadcast tonight, and I want to thank all of them. Our on-site reporter, Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Tony DeNardis, and Frank Ruggieri. They were led by our engineers, the captain, Nick Hepner, here at the United Center, and our colonels, Brett Jackson, our captain, Krista Flores, at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from the United Center, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 2-1 Blackhawks overtime win against the Minnesota Wild. Thanks for being with us, and we will talk to you on Thursday night.